Hello everyone.
Hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are the Lazy Book Lovers. This is a podcast for book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles. Today we'll be adding to your to-be-read piles with a Pride Month rec list. So that's the topic for today's episode. I'm going to start out by telling you that we have both been recently quite ill. So the window is open, so neither of us catch each other's germs, and I still have quite a croaky voice. It's the most voice I've had in about 3 weeks. So it was this or you don't get an episode. So I'm very sorry. We're going to have to deal with croaky voice.
Lucky you're in reaction C for this episode, so you don't have to do a lot of talking.
Yeah. But that's why I sound like I sound, and it just is what it is. Quickly before we get going, you can still join our May-June buddy read. You can find the link in the description for the episode. We are, read a book along with us, basically. I am about halfway.
Oh, lovely.
I know, I'm organised, I'm on it. And also, you can find the link to join our Ko-fi, which gets you a link to an exclusive Discord channel where you could chat with us a bit more personally about books if you wanted to. Or hopefully, we eventually hope there'll be a community of book nerds there. Cool, that's all my things. Go with the Rex.
What I've done is I've picked out 10 books with queer either authors or characters that I've read so far this year.
Nice.
That I recommend. So, you may have heard about some of these in previous reading updates, but if you haven't put them on your list or picked them up yet, this is your second reminder.
This is your second chance.
Yeah. And yeah, these are ones I've read between February and May, because you should read queer books all year round.
Yeah. As we always say when we do the themed month recs, should read diversely all year round, but we're going with the theme.
And if this is the first time you're joining us because you've seen the title of the episode, welcome.
Hello.
We do rec lists quite often and we would love to have you. So firstly is Proud by Juno Dawson. So this recently had a republish. It's an anniversary edition that has a couple of extra stories. It's the fifth anniversary. It's an anthology. Mm-hmm. And it features, I can't remember how many it is now, I think it's about 13 authors from the LGBTQIA plus community, and each story has a artist or illustrator that has done a piece to go along with the story.
Oh, nice.
Or the poem. So it's a really nice way to introduce yourself to a lot of either artists, illustrators, or authors that you may not have checked out before. It has some big names in it. It has Mine's Gone Blank. It's kind of like Alice Oseman in it. She's got an illustration. It's got Cynthia So. It's got Simon James Green. So there's quite a big list, and there's also a few kind of debuts. Or authors that are not so well known. So it's a really good mixture, and it's been collected and edited by, compiled and edited by Juno Dawson, who is also an author you may have heard of. I thought it was really good. So it is YA based, and it was a really good collection of like capturing different struggles for teenagers across the like queer sphere.
Okay.
They were all, if I remember correctly, they're all kind of contemporary, and it varied from people just coming out or just coming to terms with their sexuality or questioning their sexuality, to people who it was just kind of like a slice of life, and there wasn't really, like, their sexuality wasn't a big deal. It was just a little slice of life of, like,
oh, nice mix then.
So it was a really good mix. All of the art in it was fabulous. Yeah, I really, really recommend this. It's, you know, it's under 400 pages.
Well, that's quite good for, like, if there's 13 stories in there as well.
Yeah, yeah. Each story was quite unique in how it was approached.
Okay.
They'd obviously been given quite a broad...
Brief?
Brief, thank you, yeah.
Cool.
Recommend 10 out of 10.
Okay, what's next
on
the list?
So I've got a couple of graphic novels.
Ooh.
So I've got Mooncakes by Suzanne Walker and illustrated by Wendy Hsu. So this
I think I remember this one.
Yeah, it follows a witch and a werewolf. Or shifter. Yeah, werewolf. And they are working together to try and solve an issue in the town. They were childhood friends and they have some kind of rekindling of emotions that they maybe never admitted to when they were younger. Mm. So it's a female witch and a non-binary werewolf. And yeah, it's just really cute. Mm. Very well illustrated. I love the illustration.
Yeah.
And the witch main character, she's called Nova. They're teenagers. This is a YA as well. Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned that. She also has hearing aids and is very hard of hearing, which is an extra element because... like, she could take them off and her powers work differently, etc. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. It's a standalone, which is a little bit sad. I would have loved a whole series on this.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely recommend it. So it's like fantasy, adventure, magic. Well, cute. Yeah, really, really cute.
Oh, I finished River of Golden Bones.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, obviously, has non-binary characters in it and werewolves. Yeah. It's good.
That's cool. I was watching a YouTube video of someone who read it and she DNF'd it after 12 pages. She was like, nope.
It's a bit slower than her other ones.
Well, this was that booktuber I mentioned that DNF'd her other series.
Oh, maybe she's so, not.
Yeah, she, not as she style. Went into it, she said, I just don't think this author's for yeah. me. So, yeah. And the next one is a series that I've mentioned multiple times, the Tea Dragon Society series by Kay O'Neill.
I know, I've got this on my Kindle wish list.
It's on KU as well. If you do have KU, I recommend checking it out. They're only 100 pages each. There's three volumes to it. So it's the Tea Dragon Society, Tea Dragon Festival, Tea Dragon Tapestry. And it's just such a cute graphic novel series. So it follows a few different characters and they have these little dragons that have plants that grow out of their head.
So
you can
cute.
Make tea out of them. All of the characters are different species. There's some non-binary characters. There's a character that's in a wheelchair. You know, there's a broad... mixture of characters, and it's just the coziest little books. Yeah, love them. They don't take long, so if you were looking to add some books into your Pride reading this month but you don't have time or whatever for larger books, I would definitely recommend picking these up. These are
also it's dragons that make tea.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what could go wrong? I really want a tea dragon. I want a tiny dragon. I want a tiny dragon that makes tea.
That would be amazing.
I want it.
Yeah. And they like they like bonds to you and you look after them. It's like, yay.
Have you seen, I don't know if this was here last time you were here, my crochet.
Oh, no.
My crochet dragon. Oh. Wait, let's just tangent for a second.
Wait, did you crochet it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, my God, no. But like, he's a chunky boy.
Good. Oh, it's very sturdy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a chunky boy.
If we remember, we'll share a picture of this.
The chunky dragon
story.
He's so cute.
That is adorable.
This was Etsy was like, this is on sale for 17 hours, and I was like, well,
it looks like I'm buying it.
You knew your target audience.
Yeah.
Well done. Excellent advertising. Good job. Yeah. For those of you who can't see it, I've got this like chunky crochet dragon, and he's got like little pink cheeks.
That is so cute.
I don't know. I've got a little dragon on my keys as well.
How much was it?
£13, but it was on sale.
Yeah.
Or was it 17? I can't remember.
That's so good, because, you know...
Yeah, I think it was 30 quid full price.
They must take a while to make. They would take me, like, years to make.
Yeah, like, the delivery was quite long for it, because obviously it's, like, literally handmade.
Did they make it to order?
I think so. Mm. I can't imagine you sit around and have, a stock of these.
Did you choose the colour?
Yeah, they did have a pink one, but I don't know, the green one just kind of like, spooky. I liked the green one, but the pink one was my second choice.
Oh, it's very cute.
He's so cute.
I feel like that started with Fourth Wing when you started going down the dragon rabbit hole.
Yeah, I got the two Fourth Wing 3D printed things from Etsy.
And then that I was guess a present. Etsy was like, oh, you like dragons, do you? Let's keep showing you dragons.
And then my boyfriend actually, because I was having a bit of a rough time, got someone that he works with who has a 3D printer. He asked him to print two dragons from How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
The third film, so when he's got a girlfriend. So I've got Toothless and his girlfriend, but I need to get my brother to paint the eyes on.
That's so cute.
So now I've got four 3D printed dragons.
As you should.
Anyway, that was a dragon tangent.
Yeah, but it was relevant. I've got another couple of graphic novels, actually.
Okay, nice.
So I'll do all these together. So the next one is a YA one. It's called The Girl from the Sea by Molly Knox Ostertag. Now, I consumed this as an audiobook, so I can't tell you about the artwork, but the artwork on the front cover is pretty, so I'm assuming the graphic novel is gorgeous. The audiobook was very good because it was it had a lot of sound effects and stuff. So it follows a...
I actually didn't know you could get graphic novels as audiobooks. I guess it feels obvious, but...
Yeah, because me and my son listen to him in the car quite a lot.
Okay.
And, like, so he really like, well, I really love, and then I passed him the love to him, this show called Hilda, which you can watch on Netflix. It started as a graphic novel series. We listen to a lot of the Hilda books in the car.
Yeah, nice.
And they usually have really good sound effects and stuff to them, so, yeah, recommend. So anyway, this follows a 15-year-old called Morgan, and she lives on a very small little island where kind of everyone knows each other, and she just dreams of finishing high school and leaving the island so that she can be who she really wants to be, because she harbours a secret that she wants to kiss a girl. She thinks she's attracted to girls. And then one night she's walking along the beach and she saves a girl from drowning called Kelty, and they quickly become like really good friends, and they start to fall in love with each other. So Morgan starts pushing her friends away. So it's very good. It's about like family and first love and like how that can affect your friendships and stuff. And it also turns out, it might be a spoiler, so I won't say actually. But yeah, so there's a few little reveals that come along. It's very, very cute. I would definitely check out the graphic novel and see what the illustrations look like. But recommend. And then the last graphic novel is another one I did via audio. So again, I can't comment on the artwork. The audio was very good because it was read by it's a memoir, and it was read by the author, and then a full cast of all the other characters were also voiced.
I haven't listened to many audios that are full cast, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm finding I really like them.
I don't know, sometimes they feel, I don't know, sound effects, I don't always like them. I don't know, that's what I struggle with. They start to feel a bit too radio play.
Yeah, like a radio soap opera kind of. Yeah. I don't mind it too much.
Do you not?
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to like podcast stories, so I guess I'm kind of
maybe used you're more to of it. The audience. Yeah.
So this is called Gender Queer, and it's by Maya Kababi. Sorry if I've pronounced that wrong, I should have looked it up. And this is, it's not there. This author goes by E-M-E-E-E. I can't remember how to pronounce it. So it follows the author's, it's like an autobiographical memoir starting from when they were a child, when M was a child, to I think around 2015 or something, and their discovery of finding out that they're non-binary, they're possibly asexual, and yeah, it was just really good. It was a big discussion of like, what even is gender identity? What's like sexual identity? What is any of it? Like, Yeah, very, very good.
Wouldn't that be very interesting? If you don't live in that brain, it can be really hard to understand how it feels to think that way, because it's obviously just different.
Yeah.
I think stories like that are really good for it.
Yeah, I thought it was like a figure would be very good as well to, as you said, like learn how to advocate for this that you may not understand yourself. Because there's a lot of discussion of like how friends and family can react and like help or hinder and yeah, very, very good. Very good. It's been on my TBR for a long time and I'm glad I did it. I finally got to it.
Yeah, I finally finished watching Sex Education, the last series.
Oh, I'm halfway through that and then I stopped. And
it is quite intense, to be fair.
Yeah, I stopped on, no spoilers, but I stopped on an episode where there was a funeral and I needed to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
I will come back.
It gets quite heavy around then. Yeah. Yeah, no, it ends quite heavy. Like, honestly, I was like...
I think there's only a few episodes after that, isn't
there? I think.
Yeah.
I cried so much. I was like, this is why I'm ill. And now I'm watching this. But it was so good.
I watched Baby Reindeer when I was ill.
Oh, no. That must have been such a head fuck. I've not watched it yet, but I've heard enough.
No. Oh, my God, I didn't know anything about it. I just knew it was about a guy who was being stalked, and that was it.
But it gets quite intense on his sexual assault history, doesn't it?
I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And my partner had said to me, it's a really heavy show, but he didn't really tell me why. And then when I was watching it and I was in absolute tears and, like, couldn't breathe and so upset, and he was like, oh, yeah, I should have probably mentioned why it was heavy. And I was like, yeah, you probably should have.
You should have mentioned the trigger warning's neck.
Oh, God, yeah. And then I read up about it afterwards because obviously it's based on a true story.
Mm.
And whilst he aimed to keep her identity a secret and changed enough that he thought no one would be able to find her, she's gone on, like, Piers Morgan and done interviews and stuff.
She's clearly not well.
She's not well, no.
Like, we should not, you know, Piers Morgan has taken advantage of
that. He should not have done that, no. And I've not watched it. I hate Piers Morgan.
I've just seen people's reactions to it.
I don't want to watch, like, for entertainment value, someone who is possibly having a mental health breakdown. But I've seen clips of it, and I do not think she's mentally healthy.
Yeah.
Or mentally well. So I think they shouldn't have interviewed her.
Certainly not under the scrutiny of an entire nation. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I understand, like... You know, she wanted to have her own, you know, give her 5 minutes, but at the same time, he never mentioned her. So if she hadn't given her side of the story, would anyone have? Yeah, that fucked me up. I watched Bridgerton's the first part of season 3, then watched that, and then I rewatched Bridgerton twice to try and cleanse my brain.
Yeah. That's why I've not watched it, because I was like, I just don't...
It fucking haunted me for days. I'm not gonna lie. It was awful.
I did watch...
You will never rewatch it. It's a one and done.
I watched Big Mood. That's on Channel 4.
I don't know what that is.
It's got Nicola Coughlan in it. It's a comedy. She's bipolar.
Yeah.
And it's just her and her best friend.
Yeah.
Like, living life.
And seeing as we've gone on this little tangent...
Yeah.
Bridgerton...
We were being too concentrated.
Season 3.
Oh my God, I loved it.
I did. But this is what I would have... In my ideal, if they were writing a show just for me, I would have preferred Pauline's story to be season 4. And I would have liked season 3 to be more of them maybe seeing each other slightly different, but as a secondary story.
Yeah.
I would have liked them to have a real slow burn.
It was quite an escalation from friends to them, to where they went.
I would have loved them to have actual slow burn. Mm. And I know that, like, each sibling has one season that's kind of devoted to them, but I think
Well, the one who's definitely gay but is not in this series, Benedict.
Yeah.
His book is before Penelope's.
Yeah, yeah.
And Colin's. He is supposed to be this season. They switched it.
Yeah, and I think if any couple should be allowed to have their relationship go across two seasons, it should have been Pauline.
They have breadcrumbed it through the earlier seasons.
But I feel like they just rushed it too much. I would have liked... Or even if
the entire series being the build up.
Yeah. So maybe like that carriage scene could have happened at the end of season 3.
Yeah.
And then we picked up with them at season 4 or something. Mm. I would have liked that, but you know.
I guess they're trying to make up for lost time, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess so. And I think like a lot of people have obviously I've not read the books, but a lot of people have said that they think Francesca. Her storyline isn't enough to like pad out the season, so that's why they've really bought in. But I don't know. Obviously I've not seen part 2, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's reminding me that I really need to watch Queen Charlotte though.
Oh my god, you really need to though. Yeah. Like it is perfect. Like oh, I love Queen Charlotte so much.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, it's heartbreaking, but in a really, really good way. Mm. It's so, oh. I actually bought it from Tesco's recently.
I saw it down there, yeah.
Yeah, it was in a 2-for deal, so I had to, obviously.
Obviously, it's the rules.
Yeah.
Right, next on my list is another anthology, and it's called Transmogrify, and it's a fantasy short story YA collection, and it's all about trans or gender non-conforming characters. There's 14 stories, and yeah, it was really fun. It was quite, you know, it gave me like the vibes of Pride, but it was fantasy, so they could really do some fun things with it. So we had things like witches and stuff like that, and then we had a little bit more slightly magical realism, like a contemporary with a fantasy twist to it. I must admit I had not read I've read from one of the authors before, and the rest I haven't even heard of, so it's quite a good collection of introducing authors to you.
Yeah.
Obviously, just because I haven't heard of them doesn't mean that
nobody else has. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is really fun. The tagline for the book is Magic is for Everyone, and it's called Transmogrify, 14 Fantastical Tales of Trans Magic, and that sums it up. It was really fun. There was like a Cinderella retelling. I really liked that one.
Yeah, you love a retelling.
I do love a retelling. Yeah, really good. I listened to it as an audio, and they had a lot of different narrators, which really helped separate the different stories as well. Yeah, 10 out of 10, again. I'm just flicking through this list I did, of the and all of them I've rated 5 stars. I didn't realise till just now, so...
Nice.
I don't know what that says.
Ah, Betty Reed is a retelling.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I think you're going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to finish the book I'm currently on. I'm on like 84%, so and then I'll start this one. Yeah, and the author, I am part of her. She does like review tour type things. I'm part of that as well, which is cool.
Yes.
Next one is The Do's and Donuts of Love by Adaba Jagirda. Sorry if I've pronounced that wrong. I did not look it up. And this is a YA contemporary romance. It's very full of puns, which is great. And it follows a teenager. She is Irish, Bangladeshi, I believe. And she is also plus size. And her family run a donut shop.
I remember this one.
And she enters, oh yeah, so their donut shop is called You Drive Me Glazy. And she enters this, it's like the Great British Bake Off, but it's like for Irish teenagers. The Great Irish Teenage Bake Off. I can't remember what it's called. And Junior Irish Baking Show, there we go. It's the first ever one, and she applies to be a part of it, and she gets on there and she's like, yeah, just trying to obviously win this reality show. She's dealing with a lot of the online hate because she's not white Irish, because she's plus size. She also her ex-girlfriend is a contestant, and her ex-girlfriend's family run a donut shop opposite, so they're like rival families, rival donut shops. And she is, I think Vietnamese, Irish. So they've recently broken up and then they get paired together in this baking show. They're both getting hate because they're not white and members of the public are scum.
Pretty similar to what happened on actual British Bake Off when we had
people
of colour winning. No, that's literally what happened.
I only watched the first few episodes, first few series.
There was, I can't remember her name, but she was, and I can't remember her nationality or anything, but she was not white, received a lot of hate, but has gone on to have quite a successful career as making cookbooks and stuff, so... And cooking shows.
So, yeah, there's a lot of baking description. It'll make you
hungry.
Make you hungry, make you dribble a bit. Yeah, it was really fun, really heartfelt. Good. Yeah, so this is the author of The Henna Wars, which I've also read and loved. And they've also written Hanny and Issue's Guide to Fake Dating, which I haven't read yet, but I anticipate I will love.
Mm.
So all of the characters are Irish, Bangladeshi, which is also the author's nationality or ethnicity. So,
yeah.
Very good.
Tristan.
Next on my list is...
Bam.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've spoken about this one, actually. So it's a horror.
Oh.
The only horror on this list, I think. And it's called She is a Haunting, and it's by Trang Tran, and oh my god, this book, it's like, yeah,
oh, you're like stress scraping your face.
Yeah, oh my god, it's like, it's a debut as well.
Yeah,
and it was just so atmospheric. It was like so beautifully written. It's like, oh yeah, it's like a ghost story. So it follows this character Jade, who is Vietnamese, but she's grown up in America.
Yeah.
And but she's always felt like she's not American enough, she's not Vietnamese enough. Like, yeah. She feels like she doesn't really fit in anywhere. And she's got to the point where she's graduating high school, she wants to go to college, but she can't afford it. Her parents split up when she was about 8, I think, and her dad went back to Vietnam. And then she's got one. She's got a younger sister and a younger brother.
Right.
Yeah, so two siblings, and he's had nothing to do with them since he left them.
Yeah.
So I think, like, she was about... No, I think she was 8, her sister was 10, and her brother was 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he's had nothing to do with them. So her sister wants to get to know him, and he is opening a B&B in Vietnam. So he says to Jade, I will pay for you to go to college if you come and spend your summer holidays with me here, helping me build the website for my B&B.
Yeah.
And then her sister's going to go as well because she wants to get to know her dad. Jade is only going for the money. She does not want to know her dad at all. And her little brother stays with her mum. They go visit family or whatever. So she's there for 5 weeks whilst he fixes up this B&B. It's an old colonial house.
Yeah.
And then she's building a website for it, and then there's going to be like a grand opening at the end of the summer.
Yeah.
However, she starts having strange things occur. So she wakes up one morning and it feels like something's been crawling in her throat. There's a message that says don't eat on the mirror. All the food in the fridge keeps rotting, and they've had to replace the fridge so many times, and the food just keeps rotting and rotting. And so she is convinced that the house is haunted, but no one believes her. So she, along with, she kind of makes friends with someone that lives locally who is helping her make the website. And there is a little bit of a romance between the two of them. Her and this girl, Florence, they decide to get her dad to take her seriously. They start setting up fake haunting stuff around the house.
All right, okay.
To get him to take it seriously. But then that kind of agitates the ghostly elements more.
Yeah.
Oh, it was very atmospheric, very good. It was kind of like... I don't know if it was, but I would put it under like a microtrope of sentient house kind of vibe. It
oh,
was,
okay.
Yeah, very, very, like the house was haunted.
The house is like a character.
Yeah, I would say so. Like the house was, you know, it held the haunting. It held yeah. all of the, you know, she starts to find out about things that happened in the house. And obviously it's a colonial house. So there was a lot of dodgy stuff.
It was
brilliant. Yeah,
France colonized Vietnam, so it would have been French colonial architecture as well, which is again gives it a bit of spooky European ancient vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and the house is actually her family's house, so like her dad's grandma owned it, or great grandma, and then it got taken away and they were kept as servants there for the new family that ran out. I don't know. Brilliant, really good. I would also put it in line with The Reckoning. I can't remember who wrote that, but that was another good book that I would say they have similar vibes. Very different historical stuff because that's based on a plantation in America. But I would say if you like The Reckoning, give this one a try. Right, two more.
Oh my god, we've been so efficient this episode.
So
even with Dragon Tangent.
Yeah, Dragon Tangent. So I read and could not put down and literally read it the day it came out, which if you know me,
that never happens.
Unheard of. The Sins on Their Bones by Laura R. Samotin, and this is a dark fantasy inspired by Jewish folklore and mysticism.
Yeah.
It's a queer debut. It's just hitting all the buzzwords.
Yeah,
On here it says it's perfect for fans of Leigh Bardugo and Ava Reid, and I would just say yes.
Okay.
100%. So this is a fantastical reimagining of 19th century Eastern Europe. It follows Dmitri, who used to be the Tsar of Novo Svitsevo, which I don't know if that's a real place or if that is a fantastical place for this. He has now lost a civil war that was instigated by his husband, Alexei. And when we start the book, he's broken from this civil war.
Yeah.
And it follows him, it follows Alexei, and it follows his spy master, Vasily. So Vasily and Dmitri and the rest of their court know that they need to take down Alexei, who is ruining the country. They need to get into his car. It's like a heist, but they're not stealing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like a heist adventure kind of thing.
Is it family a bit as well?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
We find out that Alexei had been dabbling in the dark arts, claims he's being guided by the voice of God, and he is now immortal from the holy science. Some would describe it, when I say some, I say me, as a vampire.
Yeah.
Very good. Very, very good. Mm. I, as I said, I could not put this down. I loved it. The cover's gorgeous as well.
I remember when we did it in the reading update. Mm. I'm sure I must have added it to a list. Possibly. Or I meant to.
Yeah, it's very, it's, yeah, found family. It's about loyalty, finding love in least expected places. The queer characters are all very complex. There's a lot of stuff in it that is Jewish
traditions.
Traditions, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all in it. And the author said that she very much wanted to bring in things from her, like what she grew up with, and bring it into the story. Yeah.
Which is fabulous. Interesting in itself, because you don't read a lot of fantasy that includes Jewish traditions or Jewish holidays. So that even that is like a nice little thing to get to know.
Yeah,
something definitely. That's outside of yourself if you're not part of that religion.
I'm really enjoying, I'm not doing it as much as I should do, but I'm really enjoying reading about other cultures through the lens of fantasy.
Yeah.
And I need to do it more, because when I started reading fantasy, before I sort of got into book communities online, it's all very medieval,
pseudo medieval, white British or white American, which is like pseudo British.
And it was all right. Some of the stories stood out and were good, some were but now I'm discovering this whole world of other cultures and mythology and folklore in fantasy. They're just so much more rich.
Yeah. Like, well, it's just like, those stories are okay, but they started to become a bit copy-paste of each other.
Yes.
Or they started to sort of borrow a little bit from other cultures.
Yeah.
Twilight. But not doing it well, not crediting that culture. Yeah. Yeah. So, I like reading the stories from, like, the mythology that we're not... We also didn't grow up with it, so it's also different.
Yeah.
There's only so many retellings you can hear of the same myths and legends.
Yeah, I like, recently, I was like, do British people even have folklore culture? Oh, my God. And I looked up and I was like, well, yeah, we have, like, it's...
Yeah,
but... It's just so, like, ingrained. I kind of forget. There was, like, changelings and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah. But not stuff that's also told as fairy tales to us very often now anyway.
Mm.
It was not as fairy tales, as like fantasy stories.
Yeah.
It's sort of werewolves, vampires.
Werewolves.
Vampires.
Yeah.
I love a good gin story.
Especially when they go down like the horror route of it.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe that's from Supernatural, no. Supernatural has some good gins.
I should watch that at some point.
Yeah. Some of it doesn't age well, some of it does. I love a bit of Supernatural, though. And we're never finishing that. That's 15 seasons with 24 episodes a season.
You underestimate my depression sometimes. Last one on my list.
Okay.
Speaking of vampires, A Dowry of Blood. I finally read this. I don't know why it's taken me so long. By S.D. Gibson. And I don't know why it's taken me so long, because it was so good. I got invited to Comic-Con by Black Crow PR. I went last year, got invited again this year. Very, very excited. Nice. I was going to meet S.D. Gibson. So I was like, I got to read this book. So I decided I was going to meet Susan Dennard, who wrote the, what's that trilogy called that I'm recently obsessed with? I think I bought you the first one to make you read it.
Oh, The Illuminaries?
Yeah, The Illuminaries. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very excited to go get that. Anyway, I had the flu. So
No. I didn't realise you missed that because of this flu.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, we've both been sick for like 3 weeks.
I'm not going to lie. I was really upset that day.
Yeah, I would be if I was you.
A Dowry of Blood is about vampires. So it's a reimagining of Dracula's Brides. It's very vibes.
Oh, we're doing vibes. Like...
It's the vibe.
Crabby fingers.
Yeah, it's... There's not a great deal of plot.
Oh, it's so one of your books, right? It's kind of
perfect. It's like
meandering. Yeah, that's perfect for you.
It says here it's a lyrical and dreamy reimagining, and I would say yes.
Definitely a tally book.
It's a story of desire, obsession, and emancipation. Again, yes.
Yeah.
So we follow Constanta, who is a medieval peasant who is on the brink of death. And then a gentleman comes across her. We never learn his name. Oh. So the story is her. It's her telling her story. And she says she will never say his name. It says in this synopsis, Dracula.
Also, Dracula is like a secondary character who we don't even see.
No, you do see him. He's a big part of it. But she, because she hates him so much, she will not say his name. And I'm like, queen, yeah. So it says in the synopsis, Dracula. That never occurred to me, I'm not going to lie. Throughout the whole story, it never occurred to me it could be Dracula. A aristocratic vampire comes across her and gives her immortal life.
Yeah.
And then takes her as a bride. It makes sense now that it's meant to be Dracula. Yeah. He takes her as a bride and they just kind of like flounce about. Like, they just, you know, they go around London and live their best lives. They go around Paris, you know, they're all rich and they're just like, la, da, 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 da. Loving life. She discovers, she discovers lust and passion and all these things that she wouldn't have access to as a medieval peasant lady. But then one day he introduces another woman to their family. And takes on a secondary wife and then eventually introduces another. So they end up as four.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, Polly.
Oh, so are the women consenting in the scenario to the Polly-ness of it?
So the last one is a gentleman.
Right.
So the second and third people that join the family, they come into it with their eyes open, whereas Constanta is kind of like tricked into it. And then she starts to question how much her husband actually loves her. And then she starts looking into his past and she realises he is actually capable of very dark, evil things.
Yeah.
Which she'd never considered before because she was so blinded by, like, love.
Okay.
And it's just kind of about their lives and, like, a found family element and... Yeah, that's it, really.
Is it one of those ones that has a conclusion or is it just kind of, like, ends?
It does have a conclusion. Okay. And apparently it's the first in a series, so I don't know...
Okay.
I don't know how many books are being planned. I know there's another one. But they have a chapter called An Encore of Roses, which is from one of the other characters' point of view, because the whole book is just from Constanta's point of view. An Encore of Roses is another character's point of view, like, a year after the... ending of the book, and that's so I read that was included in my copy of the book. So yeah, it could end as a standalone. It's perfect. It's done. I don't really know how or why they could have another book if I'm perfectly honest, so I will leave it there. But S.T. Gibson has a few more books that I really want to read.
I feel like I've got them on wish lists because of you.
And Education in Malice is another one, and that is a because they're all retellings. This is another one about vampires. What is this a retelling of? I can't remember now. It's a Carmilla retelling in Education in Malice. And then there's one called Evocation or Evocation, and this is a retelling of, I can't remember what that's a retelling of now, but they all involve like vampires and queer characters, so
perfect.
Yeah, that's what I've recently read that you could read for Pride.
So go for it's a reckless read. Based on actual 5-star reads.
Yes.
Bam.
Yeah. So if you are new here, hi, please, follow and download and rate us wherever you listen to your podcast. We would love to have you.
Subscribe when you can.
Subscribe, please.
Thank you.
And if you are a regular listener but have not yet done those things, please do that.
So you know when new stuff's coming out.
Set us up to auto download. You'll always have us available, and it really helps us as well in the algorithm. So yes, we'd appreciate please.
We are fighting last year. The algorithm disliked us last year, and we're fighting our way back from that. So anything you can do is very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yes, please. And we will see you next week for some indie / self-published books.
I'm excited for this.
Speak to you later. Bye.